Okay, gentlemen, it's nice to be here and start my second year at the Migdal Torah. For most of you, it's your first. But I enjoyed last year, as I mentioned before. The topics will really come from you. Whatever you're interested in, just let the Rabbanim know and they'll let me know. And we'll get some good provocative discussions going and learn some Torah as well. So what we have before us today is the Torah's view of Adam and those who preceded Adam, meaning prehistoric man. The strange thing if you think about it, but I want to start with what otherwise would be a perplexing Rashi. So you know in Perek Gimel, the story of the Chet of Adam Arishon, who takes the fruit of the tree first? Chava, right. But, and she eats from it. Vatera ha'isha ki tov ha'etz la'machal v'chitavohu la'inayim v'nechmaru ha'etz la'skil. She saw the tree was beautiful, delectable, delicious, attractive, intelligent, or provides intelligence. Vatikach mipriya v'tochal. She took from its fruit and she ate of it. Vatiten gam l'isha ima v'yochal. And she gave it to her man also and he ate as well. So why did she give it to Adam? Rashi offers a few explanations, but then he says at the bottom, yeah, it's in 4 and 5 here on their sheet. Vatiten gam li'isha ima shlo tamut hi v'yichyehu. So she shouldn't die, because they were told the day you eat from the tree you'll die. She shouldn't die, and he would live v'yisa isha acheret, and he would marry someone else. Okay? What's the obvious problem? What's that? There's nobody else. That would be a problem. There was nobody else, in theory. So what was she afraid of? Why would that even be a causative factor in her wanting to give Adam from the fruit of the tree to eat? By the way, there's a profound lesson about marriage in this. You know, the Sheva Brachot, at least two of them speak directly about Adam and Chava. Third, Yotzer Adam, but besides that, Asher Yotzer at Adam B'Tzalmo, B'Tzelem D'mut Tavnito, V'Hitkin Lano Binyan Adayad, that eternal building was his wife, Ruchat Hashem Yotzer Adam, you don't know, but it's the fourth bracha. Why? Because when a person marries, you have to look at your wife as if she's Chava. There's no one else in the world for you, and that's it. Just the two of you. No one else. Adam couldn't play the field, very narrow field. It was just the two of them. So if that's the case, what was she afraid of? So I want to base this on a fascinating book by Dr. Gerald Schroeder, who's an MIT physicist, now lives in Yerushalayim. What's that?
He was here 2 days ago.
Oh, yeah, what did he speak about? This topic?
It was a general view of his, yeah.
Right. I was going to suggest that you bring him in. Wonderful. Yeah, he's a very fine, he's a brilliant thinker, very fine Jew as well. He spent many years at Machon Weizmann after he left America. But a lot of it is based on his book. And just as a general overview, so as he writes, as the scientists say, that Bereshit Bara Elokim, the world was created billions of years ago. Maybe 15 or so billion, could be 14 billion. I don't think it makes a difference from our perspective. The Big Bang unleashed gases and dust to create billions of stars and then galaxies, and our galaxy, the Milky Way, is like a speck in comparison to the vastness of the universe. And over time, give it much time, the Earth formed. So Schroeder estimates that the Earth itself was formed about 3.8 billion years ago. Liquid water and dry land appeared. And then immediately, bacteria and algae appeared also for reasons science can't really explain. Fast forward, as we must, another 3 billion years, and life was single-celled organisms. 500 million years ago, life seemed to explode. And now the fossil record is rich with developing life forms, from simple to complex. And that's the order that you find it in. The order really, more or less as the Torah describes it, in the days of creation. However the dating is done, You could argue that they measure radioactive carbon and you assume the rate of decay is the same. It's not necessarily so, but now they measure through uranium, so it appears to be more or less accurate. What seems even more clear today is that there was no gradual evolution, but rather punctuated evolution, meaning the world developed in a certain way, and then at a certain point, it just leaped forward, all right? And you could trace it again. So let's say Or is energy. You have Rakia and Mayim, then you have Haaretz, Ayabasha, and then you have the luminaries, which will give time and enable rotations of the Earth, to become more Earth-centric, and then you have the forms develop, fish, birds, animals, mammals, and then finally human beings. Sudden changes from one life form to the next with no transition. Now, if you look at number two, the Ramban writes in the second paragraph, "V'pshat ha'nochon b'milat na'aseh." Yeah, we'll get to that in a moment, but notice the Torah says, one, but just to put it in context here, the word bara, create, means yesh me'ayin, something from nothing. And the Ramban posits that that was the only creation, real creation that existed. Everything after that, he terms asiya, or yitzira, the word the Torah uses for making something, forming something. You form something from material that already exists. So God formed yesh mayim the first day, matter, v'achar kach min ha-yisodot ha-heim ha-nivrayim yatzar v'asa. And from these basic elements, really that basic element, everything else developed. Okay. In any event, the fossil record shows that something that appears human-like, they call it Neanderthal man, appeared on Earth about 150,000 years ago, which is quite a long time before Adam HaRishon. They had, these creatures had similar skulls, but they had massive jaws. Ah, you see the pictures, Museum of Natural History, that whole diagram. The brain was roughly similar in size, and at a certain point over time, they began using stone tools. Cro-Magnon man was differentiated because he looked more or less like we look now, about 40,000 years ago. He had increased motor skills, tools made of bones. They found paintings that exist in caves. At a certain point, maybe 10,000 years ago, they started burying their dead also. All right, how do we know this? I visited one such ancient burial ground in Ireland, I guess it was 3 or 4 years ago, called Newgrange, which is about 100 kilometers or so north of Dublin. Newgrange, I could try a picture if you want, they estimate dates back 5,200 years. For 5,200 years, it tells us two things. First of all, that there were these creatures around. And they found fossils of these types of creatures, not just in Mesopotamia in Israel, but in Europe, even as far away as Canada. So that is quite the distance. It extends to a great many places. If it shows up in a moment, I will show it to you. It looks like a big mound that is actually very well maintained, and the burial grounds were underneath. But this goes back, long before Adam HaRishon. I'm sorry, after Adam HaRishon, but long before Avraham Avinu. And so something is going on in the world where you have all these fossils, and yet the Torah doesn't seem to make any reference to them or account for them. I can't find it, but trust me. Look it up, Newgrange. It's in Ireland. Farming began around 10,000 years ago in the Middle East. They've recovered fragments of baskets woven of reeds. Pottery developed long before Adam HaRishon. So the question I want to raise today is, how do we understand all this? I mean, the Torah doesn't really make reference to it. We could say that it's false, that the world was created with fossils, or the dating is somehow off. We could say all that, mm-hmm. wouldn't be a problem. The question is it true? And if it's true, what does it say to us about how the Torah understands the development of the world, even understands Adam HaRishon, and what does it mean for us? Now, it's interesting that as the scientists date the various eras in history, Neanderthal, Cro-Magnon, stone, the age of Adam HaRishon coexists perfectly with what's called the Bronze Age, which is actually something that we should think about, because pottery may have existed, but the Torah doesn't say that anybody in particular in our narrative created pots of cheres. What does the Torah say? V'tzila gamhi yolda etuval kayin lotesh kol choresh nechoshet uvarzel. It was Tuval Kayin who began the use of implements made of metal. All right? That was the Bronze Age. Chazal teach us that it was Adam HaRishon who was given access to fire. All right? Which, there's no evidence they had it before. So you have certain things that came into existence with Adam HaRishon, and nevertheless, before that, we don't know. Writing came into existence with Adam HaRishon. Real communication. So they may have had cave paintings, and like in the movies, they may have grunted to each other, the cavemen and cavewomen, but it was more sophisticated. Writing, talking, communication, etc., came into existence with Adam. What does it say about Adam? Ve'yadam le'nefesh chaya l'ruach mimalo. So what are we talking about here? We have to go back to number one. And here the Torah says something which we have to focus and analyze the words. Vayomer Elokim, God said, Na'ase Adam b'tzalmenu kidmutenu, let us make man in our image, in our form. V'yirdu b'dgat hayom uvav hashamayim uvav heima uvav chol haaretz v'chol haremes haremes al haaretz. And he'll eventually have dominion over all the other creatures. Na'ase Adam b'tzalmenu kidmutenu. Then v'yivra Elokim et Adam b'tzalmo, b'tzalem Elokim b'ra'oto, zachar nekeva b'ra'otam. What's that?
Like it uses definitely plural form.
Well, you could start with Nasa. Nasa, right. So Mefarshim discuss whether God is incorporating the Adama in this, meaning man is called Adam in Adama. Man will be formed, will be a composite of earth, dust, as well as a factor that HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides. Or Nasa might be the Malachim, all right, that God consulted. Chazal say from here we learn that a person in a senior position should always consult the underlings, etc. But the point I want to focus on is the use of the two languages of creation or doing. Na'ase Adam Asiyah and Vayivra Elokim, God created. B'tzelem Elokim bara oto. The Tzelem Elokim, therefore, bara z'hesh mayayin, means something new. Zachar nekeva bara otam. Again, the word bara. So now we go back to the Ramban. In number two, nityached basir adam ma'amar bavur godol malato. The Torah underscores the creation of man because of his exalted status. Ki ein tivo kitav achayav avay mashe bara ma'amar godom lo. Because man's nature is not like the nature of the animals that God created. And now we revert to this, is that Nasa does not mean Yesh Me'ayin. Nasa means Yesh Me'yesh. Bara means Yesh Me'ayin. So apparently now man, Adam, HaRishon, is a composite of something already in existence, Nasa Adam, as well as something not in existence. B'tzelem Elokim bara oto. What's the difference between Nase and Vayivra? Who was Adam HaRishon to marry if Chava indeed died after eating from the Eitz Hadaat? And finally, we have something else at the end of Parshat Bereishit, and it is also mysterious terms that the Mefarshim do not fully explicate. You have the collapse, the deterioration of society. Yeru b'nei Elohim et b'not Adam. The b'nei Elohim, who are they? It literally means the sons of God, but the noblemen, the elitists, they saw the women of Adam, ki tovot heina, they're very fine, so they grabbed them, whatever they wanted. God said, this is intolerable. And then, hanefilim hayu va'aretz b'imahem. The world contained not just b'nei Elohim, but they also contained nephilim. Who are nephilim? Some say that the Anakim, the giants. What'd you say?
Not some say. The pasuk calls the Anakim, the Meradim call the Anakim Nephilim.
Correct, exactly. Anakim. That's one shot. Rashi says Nephilim, Al Shem Shin Naflu, literally means the fallen ones. Al Shem Shin Naflu, the Pilatom. They fell and they brought the world down with them. Others have different opinions as well. Ibn Ezra, I'm sorry, Sadragon said, Hagiborim, they were powerful ones. But what's the difference between the B'nai Elohim and the Nephilim? Both of them seem to cause a lot of problems for the world. Here's the whole Pasuk. They're juxtaposed in the Pasuk. Hanephilim hayu v'aretz b'yamimahem. In those days, the Nephilim were on earth as well. V'gam achreichein. Asheyavo, and after them, the Bnei Elohim came, El Benot Adam, V'yaldu Lahem Hema, and they also gave birth through them. V'yaldu Lahem, Hema Hagiborim, Hashem E'olam Anshei Shem. These were the powerful ones who rebelled against God, who rejected God's world. So who are these Nephilim, and who are these Bnei Elohim? So what Schroeder posits, and this is a theory, and it seems to account for a lot of the questions that we raised. There was such a creature as man, but before Adam HaRishon. Adam was a special creation, and thereby he was placed in a special place, away from society, in Gan Eden, to be educated in the ways of God, and to understand the world, L'avda u'lishamra. So Adam was given a dimension that others did not have, the other creatures did not have. And that was this two-stage creation that existed in that pasuk in Perek Aleph. Vayomakim na'aseh Adam b'tzalmeinu kidmuteinu, and then vayivra Elohim b'tzalmeinu baroto. Meaning, the body of Adam was physically similar to the bodies of his fellow creatures. But at a certain point in history, we maintain that it was 5,782 years ago, a new creature was developed, a higher form of man that pre-existed, and that was Adam Rishon. And like you said, what's your name?
Ezra.
Ezra, like Ezra said, that's B'Tselem Elokim Baroto. God implanted within man a Tselem Elokim. What's the Tzelem Elohim? In the simplest terms, we would say it's the Neshama. In the next parak, Vayipach Bapav Neshmat Chayim, Ruach Chayim. God blew into man's nostrils the breath of life. Man with a Tzelem Elohim now has a Neshama whose fundamental purpose is to give him the capacity to recognize God. So immediately, Adam had a superior intellect to those of the other creatures. Not just the animals, but the other creatures as well. Thus, number three, Vayikra Adam Shemot L'chol Abheimo Ulof HaShemayim U'lechol Chayat HaSadeh. Primitive man, let's call him pre-Adam, prehistoric man, did not have that capability. Yeah, he was a little more sophisticated than a horse or a cow, but nothing like Adam HaRishon would have. Only Adam was able to classify the variety of creatures. And as a result, because of this superior intellect, Ul Adam lo motza eza kinegdo, man did not find a counterpart, a female helpmate. That's why God had to create Chava. So Chava is a creation from Adam in Gan Eden, totally apart from what was happening in the rest of the world. By the way, it's interesting, the Rambam maintains in the Perush HaMishnah Techelek that Gan Eden exists on earth. it's not like Atlantis, that mystical, magical that disappeared. It's a place that exists on Earth. We haven't found it, but nonetheless, that's where they were, and that's where they sinned.
Where's that for book?
What's that? There are a lot of places on Earth that are not really inhabited. All right. I can't say. It could be that the dust of Arabia covered it up, but who knows? Maybe it'll be found someday. Asiya, then, was the continuation of the development of the world. It really was another stage. You want to go look now? Yeah, don't go look now. Another stage in punctuated evolution. By the way, you know, every year around this time, there are reports coming out of they found fragments of Noah's Ark. Even last week, they claim that they found almost its entirety somewhere in Turkey.
They keep saying it.
Every year they say it.
I've heard that same thing.
Every year, that's correct. It's seasonal. When the Parshas comes, they said. Eventually they'll find, I think they have fragments of it. They think it is.
Rebuild the whole thing?
Right, but find Noach's Ark, and then you can search for Gan Eden after that.
Usually it turns up it's some Christian trying to make a buck.
That's correct. Here the Turks will try to make a buck out of it on our route. In any event, you see the transition from four-legged animals to a two-legged creature and then upright. But Vayivra was a new creation. And that was the creation of the Neshama, of the Tzelem Elokim, that made man unique, different, and a breed apart. So before this, Cro-Magnon man had a greater intelligence than the other creatures, but it was quantitative. You see, the Nachash was also intelligent and had the ability, apparently, to communicate and also walked upright. With Neshama, man became a breed apart, and that's Vayikra HaAdam Shemot. Now, there are very interesting sources that point to these types of creatures in existence. If you look at number 7, there's a Mishnah in Kilayim in the 8th Perek, Mishnah Hey, HaPrutiot Asurot. So Prutiot are animals, mules. It's not known if the mother was a horse or a donkey. Aramach is where the mother was a donkey. That's Asur in terms of Kalayim, you can't make them. The Ramach you can. And then the Mishnah says, Ve'adnei Hasada. The masters of the field are considered a chaya. They are a beast. All right? The Rambam says in number 8, the Perish of Mishnayot, Adnei Hasada, Heim Chayot Hadamot of Nei Adam. They're animals that look similar to man. V'omrim HaMesav Mechidush HaOlam, and the scholars, the investigators say, Shehu Medaber Dvarim Rabim Sheinam Muvanim, that they speak unintelligibly. V'dibro Domeh L'dibur HaAdam, their words sound similar to what the man sounds like, we just can't understand what they're saying. Ushmo Alnanas, Bilshon Arav. In Arabic, they're called Alnanas. Umagidim Be'inyav B'Svarim Dvarim Rabim. Many people speak about it. Now, the Yerushalmi in Kilayim, from which the Mishnah is taken, calls the Avnei Asad the Chaya, and they call it the Barnash Detur, a mountain man. Something similar to human beings, but they're not quite the same. Obviously, they lack a Tzelem Elokim, but they're able to communicate as well. So you see, Chazal understood that such a creature was not only possible, but such a creature did exist. What was the problem, though, with this? What was the problem? The problem was, now, first of all, now you understand Chava's issue. When she said she doesn't want to die, v'yisacher, he'll marry someone else, it meant a Chava lookalike who did have a Tzelem Elokim. That's the first issue. But there's a second problem as well. I don't know if Sharda discussed it, but nonetheless, something to think about. What type of world, then, did Adam HaRishon emerge into? He emerged into a world that was essentially bifurcated into him and his family. It didn't last that long. Cain his descendants, right? And all these other people around him who did not have a Tzelem Elokim. More than that, what else did they lack? They lack morality. They lack mitzvot. They lack the ability to comprehend God. They lacked a Yetzer HaTov. So all they were these Adam-like creatures who?
Purely instinctual
creatures. And that eventually posed to Adam a challenge, and to his descendants, a challenge that they could not overcome. And that's what I think is the issue at the end of the first parak of the first parsha in Sefer Bereishit. Who are the B'nai Elohim?
So then why are they called B'nai Elohim?
Oh, so who are the B'nai Elohim? The B'nai Elohim, I think, were these descendants of Adam HaRishon. That they began to act out, you know, the descendants of Shet, really, and Cain. They began to act out with the B'nai HaAdam in a way that was without any type of restriction, but also began to act out with the others as well. With these creatures who were purely instinctual. Those creatures that were purely instinctual, meaning, again, it's a theory, take it or leave it. These creatures that were purely instinctual, what does the Torah call them? Nephilim. The fallen ones. Why are they fallen? Because they're not elevated like Adam and Rishon.
They're never up in the first place.
Never up in the fall. Yeah, but compared to Adam, they're on a lower level. They're down there. Naflu. They're down on the ground. Purely instinctual. No Yetzirah Tov. Only Yetzirah. So now we know that was a deadly combination for humanity. Hanefilim hayuvars by mahem. The Nephilim still existed. And you had these creatures. I mean, I don't want to make any judgments about American society today, but when people can break the law with impunity and no one wants to stop them or arrest them and just destroy things, it not only creates havoc in society, but it tells law-abiding society that obeying the law doesn't matter, doesn't even exist. So the Nephilim were there, acting like any instinctual creature would act. V'gam achreichein, after the instinctual creatures were in existence, asher yavo b'nei Elohim el b'not Adam v'yaldu mehem, then the b'nei Elohim, they did the same thing. So they did the same thing that the Nephilim did, who were quite rapacious. They did the same thing that the Nephilim did, the Eldulahem, and they gave birth to even more such hybrid or instinctual creatures. Hema hagiborim Hashemei olam anshei Hashem. These are the people who were dominant, who were considered mighty and powerful. Vayar Hashem ki rabar ato adam ba'aretz. God saw that man's evil was great, was unstoppable. V'chol yetzer machshavot libo rak kol hayom. And all his thoughts just trend towards evil the entire day. That was man. And that was the situation that was confronted when Noach entered the world. Noach didn't really have a chance in a society where everyone around him were either the descendants of Adam, who were acting like behemoth, or the descendants of the Nephilim that were essentially more sophisticated behemoth. That was the world in which he found himself. If you turn the page, the Ramban writes, and we'll see, it's not such a theory, but rather it's grounded in the way Rishonim understood these events. So Ramban writes, number 10, it's Perek Bet Pasuk Zayin, that's Via Lenefesh Chaya, V'da ki hamitchakmim b'mechkar. You should know that the investigators of man's origins, chilku b'adam, they divided man, or they disputed the nature of the nefesh. Mayhem, some of them, he mentions the Ibn Ezra for one, believe that man has three souls. Nefesh hagadol kitzameach, a soul that thrives, meaning the soul that gives life. Nefesh hatnua, the soul of movement, meaning a plant has life but no movement. So you have a soul of movement. And then you have shlishit nefesh hamaskelet, a soul that understands, that highest level. And so you had this develop in society. Umehem yomru, the Rambam says on Shmona Prakim, kizot nefesh shebadam pilyon, this soul that came from God, boyim su shalosh hakachot, it's one soul, not three. Raki yichida, it's one soul, but the soul is three different elements. But of course, man's soul had the nefesh hatzomeach, man meaning Adam's soul, had the nefesh hatzomeach, the nefesh hatenuah, and the nefesh hamaskelet, unlike the creatures before him. And that, the Ramban says in the last paragraph, is what the Torah means. Vayi adam lenefesh chaya. V'halamin azu lamin akinyan. Likone also. She oyomar, last line. Shechazar kulo nefesh chaya. V'nepach lishacher. That here man existed as a nefesh chaya, and meaning as a living creature, but now when he got the Tzelem Elokim, he became an ishacher. Totally different. Now, a point that Schroeder makes, which is fascinating, is the Medrash says that Adam Arishon was not created as an infant. He was created what age? 20. Roughly your age, by the way. He was a 20-year-old when he was created. That's how he looked. Created an adult. But that could mean that Adam Arishon existed in this state just like everyone else until that age. You can make that argument. And then at age 20, God gave him Tzelem Elokim. Or you could say, no, he's created that age, which is, you know, that's fine with me as well. What was this Nishmat Chayim? So you don't have in front of you, the Ramban says in this pasuk a little earlier, that the difference of the Neshama is that it didn't come min ha-yesodot, it didn't come from the elements, nor did it come, the Ramban describes it, b'shtal shalut min ha-schalim ha-nivdalim, it didn't come from the separate intelligences, like the Rambam speaks of. Aval hi ruach Hashem agadol mipiv datu tzuna. It came from the spirit of the great God. In the last three words of Pasuk and Mishlei, out of his mouth comes knowledge and discernment. So you see, this separate creation distinguished Adam from all others. Now, if you look at the bottom in the Mor Nevuchim, the Rambam implies as well. Vayichi Adam Shloshim Umaat Shana Vayolabid Muto Kitzalmo Uchvar Kodam Lucha Inyan Tzelem Adam Udmuto Mahi Vichomi Shikadamo Lomin Abanim Loigi Alehem Atsur and Oshit Behemet Ashri Tzelem Adam Udmuto and Amara Lea Betzem Lakim Udmuto. Okay. What do we know about Adam after the sin? How to react to his wife's betrayal? Not well. They had a healthy, or a long and unhealthy separation. 130 years they separated. What did Adam do during that time? So Chazal say, he continued to be molded, continued to give birth, what Chazal calls Shedim, Ruchot, etc. Who was the maternal element? Well, it had to be, that's why they called Shedim, demons. It had to be a female Cro-Magnon woman. It had to be one of these primitive, prehistoric individuals. Not even one. Could have been a multitude. He gave birth to many of them. No, it had to be Adam and Chava. That's the point. So I think also, that was also part of the Bnei Elohim. Because you had these creatures who are now part Adam, but part non-Adam. Okay? So again, they had a slightly higher level than the Nephilim, but on a moral level, they might have been just as depraved as they were. When Shet was born, though, so that the Torah emphasizes, Adam reconciled with his wife 130 years later. He dated, I guess, for a century and a third, and then he went back to his wife, one second, and the Torah makes a point of saying, "Zeh sefer toldot Adam b'yom bara Elokim Adam b'dmut Elokim asota zachanu b'raham v'varach atav yikra shemam Adam b'yom ibaram v'echi Adam shloshim u'ma'at shana v'yola b'dmuto kitzalmo v'yikra et shmo Shet." When Shet was born, another offspring, the third offspring of Adam and Chava. Forget their Chayin Hevel's twins for a moment. That was the first time the phrase is used, Vayol bidmuto kitzalmo. What's kitzalmo? Adam and Chava then transmitted their Tzelem Elokim to Shet. And that's why we are Shetim, Semites, in a sense. We're all descendants of Shet. What's that? Well, Hevel died without any offspring. And Cain's offspring were all killed in the flood.
No, I'm saying what form of human were they? Were
they the Tzelem Elokim? Sure, both of them.
Why didn't they say the Tzelem Elokim?
I think it did. Hold on a second. No, it doesn't use other words. Correct. Just as Vadam Yodat Chavishto Vatar Vatel Kayin and Vatosef Lodet Ochivet Havel. Right. But that was the two of them. The two of them were together, and they definitely had a Tzemel Akim. That's why Cain was taken to account for murdering his brother. But there wasn't another child born with a Tzemel Akim until Shait. Notwithstanding, the world was populated all this time with many others. That's what the point the Rambam underscores in the seventh parak of the first part, that it was Shait who then came out, Kidmuto Bitzalmo. Yes. No, no, I wouldn't say that. But yeah, they're all born with twins. Like Cain and Hevel also born with twins. Yeah, Chazal even say that the Shvatim were born with twins.
Oh, yeah.
There's
a lot of incest.
Yeah, a lot of incest. Yeah. Don't try that at home, but nonetheless, we're talking ancient times here. Okay. Now, a similar point is made by the Abravanel, the number 12, also on the Pasuk here. Ukvar Yadato. Hutzrach harav l'dvar meis, talking about the Rambam. Kefi sheyik shema'od in bnei odom ha-kodmim l'sheit lo hayu b'tzoreno shit im nisharu kishar balei chayim u'ma hayo in yanom. Notice what the Bravin is talking about. That those who preceded Sheit into the world, do they have a tzura to odom? Or he says, ma hayo in yanom, what were they? And that was the problem that we're dealing with. Kol mi shalo igiya ilov zot ha-tzura ratzom ha-skelet Befoal, eino ish, Bartzolomar, masik kipoal, avalhu behemal tsurat adam. So Barbanel does not discount, in fact, he seems to embrace this notion that there were these man-like creatures in existence that pre-existed Adam, that lacked a neshama. Now these creatures, by and large, ceased to exist, and that was the unfairness of the situation, of the environment in which Noach found himself, and so the world had to be revamped, restarted through the Mabul. And what the Mabul did in essence was get rid of most, if not all, of these Bnei Elohim, these Anakim, these Nephilim, whatever creatures over there too, uncivilized man, jungle man. Man's creation, though, is still unique. And what does it tell us? It tells us that we have to be able to ponder our existence as well. There's no doubt that even man today can stumble into becoming more or less like the Adnei Asodeh, a wild master of the field, a more highly sophisticated animal, but nonetheless be moved primarily by animalistic instincts. Rather, that part of us exists, but the counterweight is a powerful one. And that's the Tzelem Elokim that is within us, that makes us the handiwork of God and the crown of creation, but reinforced. So you see, all the questions were answered, but many times you'll find people learn science, history, and they wonder why the Torah makes no reference to it. So the Torah makes oblique references to these things. They do play a role in our story with a distinction of Adam HaRishon as opposed to all the other creatures. So for example, I was asked this many times also by young people, the world makes a big deal about dinosaurs, right? So how come the Torah doesn't mention dinosaurs? So in fact, Dr. Schroeder makes the point that the Torah does, also in an oblique way. There's only one creature mentioned by name. You know which one?
Nafash?
No, in the days of creation. Taninim HaGdolim. See, he says the Taninim HaGdolim makes sense, because the Tanin is some type of aquatic creature. He says the Taninim are reference to dinosaurs. He shouldn't, they didn't exist. They did exist, but they didn't survive. Whatever reason, they didn't survive. But they were created and existed on the fifth day of creation. One of the, what's the word? How does the Torah phrase it? Yishritzu hamayim sheretz nefesh chaya of yofeifa la'aretz. Vayivra Elohim es atanim agdolim. God created these tiny nimagdolim, these great aquatic creatures. So not only do you find references to a tanin, which is otherwise obscure, but also to Bnei Elohim, to Nephilim. It puts Noach's plight in a different perspective as well. In fact, it puts his greatness in a different perspective. That we're equivocal about Noach. Yesh Dorshim L'Shvach, Yesh Dorshim L'Gnai. But notice, to be in an environment where not only your fellow creatures, the descendants of Shait, are corrupt, but you have these creatures wandering around looking like you, but completely unrestrained, uninhibited, that makes it all very difficult. But of course, our mandate given to us by HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to act always in accordance with our Tzelem Elokim, and thereby be a great source of Nachet Ruach by HaKadosh Baruch Hu for what He created and what His intentions are in creation as well. All right, I thank you all very much.